Join me in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And then we will also be going to the books of John and the book of Acts. First of all, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17. Hear this, the word of the living God. Holy, inspired, inerrant, Word of God. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, if you would please follow me to the book of John, chapter 20. Verse 24. Through 29. I'm glad we have the projection up there, but I love to hear the pages turning. John 20, 24. "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" And then to the book of Acts, please. Chapter 9. "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his men. What I've given you here are three men who encountered Jesus Christ. And by the simple reading here, I think you can see that their lives were changed forever. Dramatically changed forever. First, we have Peter here in Matthew 16, one of the most incredible passages that you will read in the New Testament. The people were confused about who Jesus Christ was. Please remember, in the first century, there were many who came who said their name was Jesus or proclaimed to be the Messiah. The people were confused, and so they ask, is this Elijah? Is it John the Baptist? Jeremiah? But in truth, Jesus was not concerned about the people. He asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Now, please let us remember Peter. Boisterous, loud, outspoken, strong-headed, pick a term. And this is the one that Jesus had tagged God through the Holy Spirit to be the leader, spokesperson of the disciples. Speaking was no problem to him. What he spoke probably was. But here he made one of the most incredible professions. In Matthew 16:16, we read these incredible words. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We may look at that statement and it may mean something to us, but we may have difficulty gaining the full capacity of the statement. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed, the Son of God. Not one who was coming along as others did, not one who was trying to be something he wasn't. He was God. Is God. Peter, through the power of the Spirit, as Jesus relates to him, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you this, Peter, but God revealed this to you." This changed Peter. But like many of us, after our encounters with Christ, Peter wasn't totally secured in his belief, because on that night our Lord Jesus was betrayed. He turned away from him, not once, not twice, but we know the story, three times. But in the end, because of this encounter with Jesus Christ and because of the encounter he had with the Holy Spirit, Peter became a different person. The power of the Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ, changed who this man was. The encounter with Jesus changed who Peter was. Then we have Thomas. Not much is written about Thomas. We have him in a couple places in the New Testament. We don't know much about him. He's given the nickname, the Doubting Thomas. That comes from the statement found in verse 25 of chapter 20 of John. You know the words. He says, "Unless I see in his hands and the mark of the nails and place my finger in the marks, and unless I put my hand in his side, I ain't going to believe this." How many of us know the things of Jesus Christ, but yet we're still that doubting type? But when Jesus entered the upper room after his resurrection, and he called on Thomas to touch him, I try to put myself in Thomas's position. The room is probably filled. There's a lot of people there, you can imagine, in the upper room. They're still hiding a bit. But Jesus calls out Thomas and says, "Thomas, come here. Come here." Put your finger right here. Thomas, come here. Put your finger right here. This encounter changed who Thomas was. A statement that is parallel to that which Peter made. My Lord and my God. The encounter with Thomas. He was changed. And then we have Paul. Or Saul, at this point in time in reading. Saul, breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Saul, who stood by holding the garments while Stephen was stoned to death. Saul, who was given authority to arrest anyone, man or woman, who was following the way, in which it was called in the first century, the way. But then he met Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. I love it. Jesus Christ knocked him off his horse. If you've never been to see the fresco up in Wilkesboro, go see it. It's a beautiful image of Peter coming to grips with Jesus Christ. And here, listen to the statement that Peter makes in his preaching in the synagogue. He says, he is the Son of God. Peter, one who could be, he was the foremost theologian. Wrote more books of the Bible after this change, but before this, taught by the best, trained, raised to be Pharisee of Pharisees, as he calls himself. But yet after this encounter, after this contact, this personal contact with Jesus Christ, he was no longer that. He was no longer one who sought after those following in the way, but he was one now who openly confessed, to the fear of many, openly confessed that you are, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Very quickly here, I've given you three men. I could go to others. Three men who encountered Jesus Christ. Peter, who walked with Jesus, proclaimed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas, the reluctant Thomas, touched the hands and profess him to be my Lord and my God. Paul, as Saul, driven to destroy the followers of Jesus Christ, but now proclaims that he is Jesus, the Son of God. Three encounters. Three men whose lives were changed so very dramatically after coming in contact with Jesus Christ. Three encounters. Three men. But I draw your attention to the title of the sermon. It says four encounters. Who's the fourth? Me. You. You are the fourth encounter that Jesus Christ has had, of which I'm giving attention to today. You, sitting here as a believer, there was a point in time when you realized that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the Lord of your life. Think back on your life. Some of you were covenant children, and that day was not the Paul on the Damascus Road event, but some of you were. I remember mine. But each of you, I pray that there was a point in time when your life, you realized that encounter. You realized that you no longer were your own, that you no longer were what you once were, that you were no longer that person. That was before the encounter with Jesus Christ. What has been your life's encounter with Jesus? And see, here is the challenge. Here is the test to whether that encounter was truly that face-to-face, although for us spiritually. Are you different than you once were? If you are the person you were before that point in time you've acknowledged, then is it true? Are you living lifestyle similar to that which you were before? Or are you one who can clearly identify, such as Peter would, such as Thomas would, Paul, of course. You know, I just ain't what I used to be. I'm not that what I once was. I look at my own life. And yeah, I falter. I fall back to the ways or... Judy says this often, remarking a scene, oh, I can't believe I'm going to use this illustration, remarking from a scene from Duck Dynasty. When Phil and Kay got married, Kay said to Phil, I remember you when you wasn't so kind, but now you are. Similar words. How about you? Are you different? Can you see the evidence of that encounter with Christ? Now, of course, I must go to the sadder side of this story. There may be some here this morning who go, I don't know. If you have doubt, do not let that doubt linger. Address it. I or any elder in this room would be glad to pray with you, talk with you, work through that with you. Because you see, when a person, and as I said, there are more in the text that I could go to. But when a person comes face to face with a realization of the Lordship and salvation of Jesus Christ, they can no longer be what they once were. This table that we have before us represents the origin of that power, of that ability of God, who can take a person with an old, cold heart and change them into those who would profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To take those who once sought to arrest, murder, kill those of the way into one who became the greatest writer of New Testament theology. Some of you are probably not that challenging. Some of us are. But see, this table that we're going to share today, when we come to this table, Jesus Christ said, remember the life, remember the crucifixion, remember the resurrection, but remember why. Because you cannot see the Father. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you come to grips with what this table means. And it's revolutionizing, revivaling way. Are you one who has been affected by an encounter with Jesus Christ? Only you and God. Look to that. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the work of Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you for this table of which we are now going to share and what it means, the why. Because things, people, creation, they could not continue as they were. Redemption, change had to take place. Father, help us. If we are those who can confess and profess that the encounter with Jesus Christ has been indeed that, change me from who I am, then Lord, thank you and bless me. But if there are those here today who I really can't answer that question, the Holy Spirit, come and work mightily. Renew, revive, bring to a new life, whatever is needed for each. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.